Good morning. Great to see your pretty faces today. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. Winston Churchill, a great and well-known leader during a time of our world's greatest, darkest hour, was asked about his parents. And his mother was an American socialite, and he basically said, well, I really didn't know my mother very well. She was running around with other people. And she was had a lot of different boyfriends. Perhaps his dad had a lot of different girlfriends. We don't know for sure. And about his father, he said, well, my dad was really like God. He was busy elsewhere. He was busy elsewhere. And so his view of his father was very much that of his view of God. God is real, that God exists, that God's really busy, and he's somewhere else. And of course, his father would, of course, probably, from what we understand of history, claim to be a Christian person, like most of the royals in Britain, many of which are our cousins, right? And some of those cousins, they believed in Jesus, but they were like us. They didn't always trust God. They tended to trust their money, and they trusted their pursuit of power, and they trusted their ability to know all the right people in all the right places, and to get their name on the cover of the magazine, or to be the dean of the university. Winston's father was a great statesman before him, and his father before him. Winston Churchill was a cousin to Princess Diana, and that was the lineage of the royal dukes and so forth in that area of the world. Winston's father was a spinster in the Tory house. So these people did not lack for money. They didn't lack for fame. They didn't lack for fortune. They had power. They had influence. But Winston's father not only was a statesman and busy not being with his son, but being off changing the world, right? Doing all kinds of things with the country and the government. But he also died a pretty suffering, miserable death. And they didn't know if he had syphilis or if he had a brain tumor, but he didn't have a happy end. He spent most of the end of his life going back and forth to surgeons and doctors trying to figure out how he could stay alive. This is the story of humanity. It is not just the story of Winston Churchill. It is the story of every human being born, that like the grass, we will be born up from the earth and God's creation. We will have a season that we live, and then we will perish. And the question will be, is that it? Are we only like the grass in that we will live for a time and perish forever, and we will be like the dust? Or is it true that there is a God who created it all, created us all, every one of us, whether we're cousins to Princess Diana or not, but that we are God's people, and that he loves us so much that through Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit that we will live as God's green grass forever in the eternal heaven. And that's a decision that every human being has to toil with and struggle with and wrestle with and decide on their very own. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is not the evidence of what you see. Faith is the evidence of what you hope will come. Faith is not the striving of power to make it all happen. And I don't know about you, But I have my seasons and my moments and my days when I want to make it come together. I want to orchestrate it. I want to get ahead of it. I want to manipulate it. I want to make it come together, Alan. I want it my way, baby, right? I want it my way. I want it the way I want it. And as we walk with God in this journey, as Ambry brought up in our class this morning, there is this vacillating movement that we have as children of God, where we move into pain and experience pain and then invite God to be our God in the pain, and we find peace in the pain. But Western culture does not teach this theology, even though we claim to be the biggest Christian population in the world. Actually, it is Eastern theology that leans more toward teaching the idea of sitting in your pain and finding peace in it. Western culture does not teach this. We have taught that if you're a strong enough cowboy, you can pull your boots up, you can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, right? If you're a good John Wayne, right, you will conquer the day. If you're a good Clint Eastwood character, right, if you're a good Star Wars, you know, victor, hero, you're going to win. You will kill the bad guy. Winston Churchill, when he led his people into battle against Hitler, he was considered an idiot and a buffoon. Because they thought, well, we're on an island all by ourselves. We can take care of us. Okay, so Belgium is gone. Oh, Holland is gone. Hitler's got them both. Oh, now Hitler's in France. But we're okay because it's just us. We'll take care of us. Nobody wanted Churchill to be prime minister, because he had said long before, when Hitler first came into office, he was the one in Britain saying, this guy's dangerous. This guy's going to take over the world. And nobody listened to him. He was considered just out of his mind. Now, there's plenty of things wrong with Winston Churchill as a human, just like the rest of us, right? This is not about Winston Churchill. This is about God. And it was Churchill who stood before the House of Commons and said to them, we're going to face this evil. We will fight this tyranny, because it is the only way for Britain and England and its people to survive. Because in his perspective, he would go down dying at the hand of Hitler than to surrender and be a pawn of prejudice, bigotry, and evil. And this is the struggle that every human faces every day of their life. Is, will we believe in a God who is so mighty and so good and so faithful and so loving that no matter what knocks at our door, we will face that evil, we will face that pain, we will face that fear, we will face that worry, even though we die, even though we perish, but we will walk into that darkness with God at our back, and we will go in without the anxiety of evil being the power in our life. And this is the work of faith. You see, the message of the world is you just need better makeup. You just need a new lotion for your face and you'll be happy. That you just need a new car, that you just need to live in a different neighborhood, that you just need to elect a different city commissioner, that you just need... And you know, all those things are fine, but they're not the answer. The answer is the unseen, omnipotent, all-knowing God who will walk up, walk beside you, live in you, abide in you, be your strength when you don't have any strength left. Our world must hear the good news of Jesus. And the good news of Jesus is not another beer, it's not another pill, it's not another diet routine, it's not another trip to the mall. or the Goodwill, or the bookstore to buy one more book? What's wrong inside of me is the emptiness I have not yet surrendered to the Spirit of God. That's what's wrong with me. If I find out tomorrow I have a brain tumor, then I'm probably going to go to a doctor, and I'm probably going to get their opinion, and they're probably going to tell me what I should do, and I'll sit down with my wife and my kids, and we'll talk about that, right? We'll try to figure out what's the best thing for me to do. Maybe I'll fight this. Maybe I'll fight it to its death, and that's perfectly appropriate. Or maybe I'll say, you know, I'm just going to live with it until I pass. I don't know what I would do. Can't tell you. But what I do know that I believe I should do is that whether I'm in the pit of despair and sitting in that fearful place of not knowing what tomorrow brings, not knowing if an answer will come, not knowing if I will hear yes or if I will hear no, that I have an option to sit in that pain, live in that pain, bathe in that pain, walk in that pain, roll around in that pain, and just let it be my life. And I can start dying long before cancer kills me. Or I can take that pain that I'm feeling and I can enter into God's rest while I'm alive. And I can move and I can live in the temple of God's holy, holy temple up on top of the mountain. Right? I have that opportunity, don't I, Hannah? I get to live on the mountain of God in the midst of my cancer, in the midst of my pain, in the midst of my grief, in the midst of my poverty. When my belly is empty, when my clothes have been torn from my body, I can choose to climb into God's realm, receive God's Spirit, walk into the temple of God, and live on the mountain. I can live on the mountain when I'm hurting. I can live on the mountain when I'm sad. And I can be sad in that temple. And I can cry in that temple. And I can cry out to God with anger in that temple. And God will hold me. And God will love me. And I will find, Ambry, right, that conflict within myself of pain and joy, pain and peace. But most of what the world has to sell us is you're in your pit. You stay in your pit, but maybe if you just try one more herb, right? Try one more pill. Try one more therapy. Try one more husband. Try one more wife. Try one more, you know, try to get another set of kids, right? Just keep shopping out there. In other words, just keep looking outside in the world. And maybe out there in the world, you'll finally find your answer. Jesus was born into a world that has the same feelings that we have. Jesus was born in the same world that feels just like you and I do when we face pain and hardship and grief and sadness. And Jesus knew how it felt for you to be hungry. You know how he felt, how he knew? Because he spent 40 days being what? Being hungry. He starved for 40 days. And we wonder, why did Jesus do that? Did Jesus have to do that for Jesus to become God? I don't know. But what I do know is Jesus was God and Jesus did that. So Jesus knows what it's like to be hungry, and he knows what it's like to suffer, and he knows what it's like to be ripped and have your clothes torn off your body. He knows what it's like to be mocked and to be spat on and to be pierced and to be crucified as a criminal when he had done no wrong. The great Psalm of David, the 23rd Psalm, David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want." Come on. I remember when I was a teenager and I'd read this stuff, you know, and I was like, well, I know God is there for me, but come on. Just turn the other cheek. Come on, Jesus. I mean, that's ridiculous. What human do you meet that if someone slapped them is going to turn the other cheek? Oh, come on, Jesus. People don't want to do that. No. People don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We want to sock them in the mouth. That's what we want. But what Jesus knows is when I sock you back in the mouth and you sock me in the mouth, I'm just as miserable as you are. Yesterday, Dad and I were going to pick up Caleb and Daniela, my son and daughter-in-law, And I was going down Arizona, and I had to make a U-turn to get back to their apartment. And so this guy was coming up behind me, and so I get over in front of him, and he's way back there, but apparently he owns that side of the road. And he is waving his hands, and he's just showing me all kinds of colorful, creative hand gestures. And I thought, wow, he's excited to see me. And Dad said, what's going on? And I was like, this fella's upset that he's not the only person on the planet, all right? And so I cut over and made my U-turn, and he just stares at me the whole time. And so I just wave a good old Kentucky wave. Hey, buddy, we must know each other. Hi, great to see you. Because I wanted him to know that he was not going to get my goat. I'm not going to let him get my goat. Because my God has taught me that I don't have to give people my peace. I don't have to give cancer my peace. I don't have to give hateful people my peace. I don't have to give, fear and worry my peace. I don't have to give my peace away. I don't have to. Does that mean I don't? No. I do sometimes. I drop into that pit of despair, and I get in that dark place, and then I say, okay, I've been here a little while, and then I say, hey, friends, brothers, sisters, wife, right? I reach out to my friends and my kids and my family. I say, I'm really in a bad place. I'm not really happy. I'd like to sort of punch somebody in the nose. And then if I can't remember God is with me, my family, my loved ones, my brother, my sister can remind me, well, God loves you the same. God loves you the same, even though that guy thinks you're a nut driver, right? So then I'm okay because God's okay with me, and I've got God, and God's enough. But that doesn't mean I don't feel sad. It doesn't mean I don't feel sick. It doesn't mean I don't feel angry. So the question is not, are we going to have despair? Well, that's happening. It's going to happen. It's going to happen the next day. The question is will we trust God when we've gone to the doctor and when we've tried to get food and when we've done everything we can, that God is with us in the going to get the food and going to the doctor? God is in that, right? God is in that pursuit. But if I get no and no and no everywhere I go, then I can be without and I can be empty and I can be on the mountaintop in the temple with God and God can hold me and I can be okay. Because the greatest power and the greatest love and the greatest peace that exists in the universe is with me and in me and will abide with me. And I am never alone. I'm never alone. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures. Oh, that's so beautiful. He leads me beside the quiet waters. So beautiful. He restores my soul. That's so beautiful. He leads me in the right paths for his namesake. That's so beautiful. And then I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What am I missing here? Verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Let's read that again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, Jesus never promised you that if you had faith, that you would not have the burden of this life. That has never been the promise of Jesus. The promise of Jesus is that when the storm comes and you are in the pit and you are down in the dumps and nothing's going your way, that you can, within yourself, go to God. The Holy Spirit will remind you, you're not down there in the pit by yourself. Guess what? You're really in the kingdom of God. You're really up here on the mountain. You're really up here with me in the temple. Isn't that cool? You're not down there alone. But God, through the Holy Spirit, lifts us up and we transcend the pit of despair. We transcend the pit of poverty. We transcend the pit of hunger. We transcend the pit of pain. Doesn't mean our body doesn't feel it. Sure it does. But we are enlightened and transcendent through the Spirit of God. And all of a sudden, we are able to preach from the mountain. And then and only then will the world hear our sermon. Then and only then will the world hear the song of the Christian church, because we have a song to sing that nobody else is singing. Because we're saying, wow, life's terrible. I want to walk alongside you and help you find food. I want to walk along beside you and help you find a good doctor. But let's not wait until we get to McDonald's to be with God. Let's not wait till we find that doctor with the perfect chemo treatment before we turn to God. Let us be with God when we go to the doctor's office. Let us be with God when we go to the grocery store to get groceries for the poor and the hungry. You see the point? But what humans tend to do is we exhaust ourselves doing everything we can do and that we can get people to do and we can get the government to do. We exhaust everything. And then after everything collapses, then we say, oh, well, I guess we're going to have to check, see if God's not too busy to help us with this. And that's what Churchill said, right? Churchill said, God's like my dad. He's busy elsewhere. He exists, but he's busy elsewhere. We live on a planet overflowing with people who believe in a God who is busy elsewhere. Do you believe that our God is just busy elsewhere? Or is he busy right here, right now, on your pew inside? You. It's a human struggle. We are not alone. We all face it. And Jesus came into the globe and walked on the planet, and everybody he met, he knew that they struggled with what David said in Psalm 23. Amen? And here's what he had to say. Let's go to that first slide. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will wear. Life is more than food." Okay, that doesn't make any sense. Let's just stop right there. Carolyn, what kind of stuff is this, right? You meet a person who's hungry. We talked about this in our class this morning. You meet someone who's hungry, are they going to want food? Or they want to hear your religion? They're going to want food. And what are we going to give them? We're going to give them food. When our Friends Speak students come to our country from China, and they want English, they want to know English, do we say, well, I'll talk to you about English after you accept my Jesus? Is that what we do? No, we give them English. Because it's hard enough for those of us who have already accepted Jesus to believe and have faith in Jesus, right? So we shouldn't presume that the hungry and the people who can't speak our language or the people who don't have the kind of assistance and justice in the world, we don't wait for them to accept Jesus before they know what it's like to have a warm meal in their belly. Well, does Jesus talk about that? Well, let's keep reading. "Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. The ravens neither have storehouses or barns." How many of us have storehouses and barns? Phoenix is one of the biggest storage unit cities in the United States of America. Well, you know why that is? It's because we don't build attics or basements. That's why that statistic isn't true in Kentucky or in West Virginia, right? But we humans like what? Stuff. We love our stuff. Me included. Well, the ravens don't have any storehouses. They don't have any garages. They don't have any basements. And so, consider the ravens. They don't worry about all this stuff, but yet God takes care of them. How much more value are you than the birds? Does God love you? Is God available to you? Is God there for you? Can worrying add a single hour to your lifespan? Actually, the science is totally in contradiction to that. Modern science tells us that the more when you're sick that you worry, the quicker you will die. That's a fact. The more you can breathe, walk in the grass, walk along still waters with God, the more likelihood you'll live another day or two, maybe another hour. But you will not live another hour because you worry. Can worrying add a single hour to your lifespan? If you are unable to do a small thing like add 1 hour to your life, why would you worry about any of the rest? Can you believe Jesus says this? Man, Jesus preaches me this lesson every single day. Steve Tyree, why are you worrying about that? what have you changed, Jim? Right? What's different on Thursday than Tuesday? You worried all Tuesday and all Wednesday. Thursday's the same. It may even be worse. And you guys are all thinking, wow, this is an inspiring sermon, Steve. Thanks a lot for the good news. It only gets worse, right? The reality of God is no matter how bad it gets in our world, every day can be good with God. That's the good news of Jesus. Let's go to the next slide. Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow passes away, how much more will God clothe you? Oh, you have such little faith. What does the text tell us? What did Jesus tell us? The grass is going to live, and the grass is going to what? It's going to die. Steve's going to be born, and Steve's going to be buried on Cemetery Road in Bowling Green, Kentucky, most likely. And when I face death, I will face the same fear that every human has faced and every human will face. I will fear, I will worry, I will have those moments. But the difference in me following Jesus and me trusting in God and my faith is that in the midst of that fear and turmoil, I can wrestle and experience some joy and some peace, and I can live somewhere outside of that pit. I can get out of it. I might fall down in it, and I can get out of it, and I can go to the beautiful mountain of God and live in the kingdom of God. But I have to believe that God is my safe person, that God is the one who loves me, that God loves me more than any man, woman, or child, that God is the love of my life and that I am the love of his life and you are the love of his life. And then Luke chapter, let's go to the next slide, 12 verse 29 through 34. So Jesus says, so don't keep striving, don't keep striving. You never seen the movie of the little fish? What's the name of the little fish movie? Finding Nemo, yeah. Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. And don't you ever feel like that in your life? It's like, I'm so tired of swimming. You know, I want to have a party. I just want to take a break. I just want to have a nap where nobody interrupts me, right? My dad's just waiting for a day he can lay on the couch at our house and our dog's not come and lick his face, right? He just wants a break from it, right? Do not keep striving for what you are to eat or drink. Now see, Jesus doesn't say, don't go out and plant seeds to grow food. Is that what he says? No, he doesn't say make preparations for food. He doesn't say go to work and have a job and buy your children food. He doesn't say go out and give food to the poor. He doesn't say that. He says that when you don't have food, have peace. And the only way to have peace when you don't have food is to have God. Do not keep worrying and worrying and worrying. The nations strive after these things. Your Father knows what that you need. Instead, strive for his kingdom. Now, what's the kingdom? The kingdom is what I've tried to illustrate for you today. It's whenever the pit is the place that you're in physically on the planet because you got cancer or you're sick or you're sad or you're grieving or you're in poverty. That's your pit. It's real. God isn't saying get over it because it's not real. Jesus is saying this is real. You're like the grass of the field. You're going through some tough stuff. But you don't have to just be consumed by that because God is saying, I'm the Spirit of God. I'm living in you. And now, guess what? Steve's the temple. So I can just sort of rise up because God's lifting me up. I have the power of God in me to help me transcend my circumstances rather than my circumstances consume me. Do not be afraid. Your Father's good pleasure is to give you the kingdom. Right? God's pleasure is to put you in from your pit, to transform you from the pit into the mountaintop of God's temple. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, God, are with me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God, I know you are with me, and I will fear nothing. You will still feel the fear. You will still feel anxious. You will still feel hungry. But you will also have God's Spirit to pull up beside you, lift you up, and you will have a conflict of God saying, it's okay, though, because you're still with me. It's okay, though, because you're still mine. It's okay, though, because I still love you. It's okay, though, because I'm still your dad. I'm your papa, and I'm not going to leave you. It's going to be okay. Though I be hungry, though I be naked, though I die, I will live. May the Lord bless and keep you. May you trust more today in the truth of Jesus, the truth of the 23rd Psalm, knowing not that circumstances aren't going to be terrible. Bad things are going to happen. But even in the midst of the bad things, God can lift us up and we can transcend that feeling of anxiety and worry and anger and pain and discomfort. Let us stand together as we are led in the song.
God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, our fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to
while we ask the questions. Before the throne of God.